Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would think of that. You thought about getting your own fucking house.
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome to the Football Ramble. What a weekend. City have lost. Fulham are getting closer to safety. Rangers win the Premiership and Warnock goes to war. It's the 8th of March. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Peg Donaldson.
I ran out of time in the intro, boys. I didn't even get to say it's Monday. Monday, the 8th of March.
Fine.
It's a new week. We've got a bit of a spring in our steps. We're back in the studio. Good to see your faces.
I don't like it. I feel like one of those tribesmen who's been in the forest forever.
Yeah.
In the jungle, and you're too close. You're like, I don't understand perspective.
It's weird, isn't it?
Everyone's more 3D than I'm more 3D than I've ever been, to be quite frank. The way I've been eating. I was
looking at the screen a minute ago where we've got the cameras up because I can see your faces on the cameras, and I thought, actually, I could actually just look at your actual because you are next
There's
to me.
There's no need for a sort of Zoom call in the room.
It's bizarre, isn't it? Our teams all did poorly this weekend, yet we're this happy because it feels like a fresh start, doesn't it?
I think there are
a lot of people getting back into the offices this week. The kids have gone back to school. Does that mean that I'm allowed to swear loads because the kids aren't going to be listening while the parents
Jules,
are?
It's International Women's Day. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, baby. Congratulations, ladies. It's our day.
Yeah.
We have a day all for us. And lads, congrats to you too, because some of you are pretty lovely.
Some, not all. Very, on a day like this, on the internet, a very small subset.
Yeah. Some all men are all right. Is that it?
I don't know.
Well, most of the Ramble men are lovely.
Yeah. Most of them.
Most of them.
Andy's a real shit.
But no, it is an important day, Pete. So thanks for bringing that up. It's important to recognise, especially in this industry, isn't it? Because there are women that are now paving the way for future generations, Jim. And it's not always been that way. And I feel like especially recently. I mean, I've only been working in the industry for about 5 years, but I feel like so much has changed in that time. And days like this are just there to be able to celebrate and commemorate kind of the steps that we've taken to equality and respect. And it's so important that women are respected in the football industry, because it's not always been that way. And I do feel really glad that I get to work in places where we are respected and we are treated equally, especially here at the Football Ramble. You've got me and old Mace on the mics, and it's not just us as well. There are wonderful girls who work behind the scenes in the production team as well. And I just think it's important to point out that this really is a place for young girls and young women to work and feel comfortable, because you can be respected and you can feel part of it. And I think that being here as part of the Football Ramble team has allowed me to completely be myself. Mm. And that's not always been the case for women working in football. Sometimes you have been in the past treated as a bit of a token, or, you know, having a girl there for the sake of it. But I feel like now we can be more of ourselves. And especially here at the Football Ramble, I feel so comfortable, which is why I am a bit of a dickhead sometimes. Well, thanks for having me.
Well, I think the way that women in the media have to sort of conduct themselves, they find themselves, they have to be 10 times more accurate, 10 mm-hmm. times they've got to be 10 times more correct with their observations. And I want to live in a world where one day a woman could be as poor as me at broadcasting. Yeah. And that's what I want to hear.
Yeah. I think there's a thing where if a female pundit makes a mistake for whatever reason, then she, for some reason, in the minds of a lot of people, represents all women talking about sport. And
so
obviously
true.
That's nonsense. But yeah, I mean, last few years there's been a huge rise in the number of female faces that we see, and voices that we see in football, and it's great. It's obviously there's been the sort of backlash you would expect from the sad, like pathetic parts of the internet, but it's not going anywhere, and that's great. And I think days like this are really, really important in terms of just addressing the imbalance and lifting women up. So yeah, happy International Women's Day.
Yes.
I think I'm gonna cry, Jules. That was really nice.
Aww,
and I don't cry
you.
Anything, as we know.
Yes, congrats, ladies. Enjoy today, and lads, we love you too. Let's talk about the weekend's football. My God, so much happened. Mm. Let's start with the derby, City of Lost. Did anyone see that coming? What an impressive win from Man United.
Yeah, it really was, wasn't it? Because they just sort of, they held them at arm's length. And we were talking about this the other week with Wolves and a few other teams, where they let City get in their heads and they get scared of them, and they've lost before they've even got on the pitch. And Man United just didn't do that. And, you know, I personally even kind of, you know, sneered at this a little bit when Solskjaer was saying the other week that, you know, they're not going to sort of let them run away with it, and thinking like, well, there's not really much you can do about it. But in the bit that he could do something about, he really, really did. And he set them up really, really well. And I think City just, I don't know, they're almost surprised that a team was willing to have a go at them on the counter like that, which is what you expect from Man United, but they just executed it really well.
And what a start, Pete. I mean, to get a penalty in, what was it, like the first minute, it's you couldn't have dreamt of a better start. Poor Martial, he had about 8 of them on him.
I know.
Yeah. They were literally surrounding him.
It was like that picture of Maradona after the, was it a Dutch wall broke? Incredible. Wow. I mean, desperate and lucky for Edison as well. What does he have to do to save that?
I know.
It was so poor. But
old Penandes, eh?
Oh, what are you going to do? I keep seeing him getting filmed. I keep seeing him getting filmed.
Oh, that sounds dodgy.
You're following him.
And he just needs a little bit of touche éclat. He just needs a little bit of foundation when he does these camera pieces.
I love that you know what touche éclat is.
He just looks a little bit withdrawn. He looks a little bit drawn facially. I just wish he'd put a bit of rouge in his cheeks.
For those that don't know touche éclat, do you know what touche éclat
is? No, I don't.
Are you sure you don't know what it is, Jim?
What does that mean?
Jim's tidied up his look a little bit. He must be having a bit of a help at 38.
Touche éclat is concealer for anyone who is unaware. Yeah.
I'll get some.
To hide the dark circles.
Ah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll order some now. So when it becomes a problem.
My eyes are sort of withdrawn. I'd probably better off like painting it at the back of my head, because that's where my eyes look like they are. But hero of the piece, Luke Shaw.
Wow.
He has got to be in that England squad. Come on.
100%. Yeah.
Get our chunky boy, our chunky rapido boy.
Scaffolder.
Get him in there.
I love it. Yeah. Roberto Carlos was trending on Twitter because so many Man United fans were making the joke about that, which I love it when that happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I think he certainly looked like the fullback England need at the moment, because, I mean, we don't want to look ahead.
He could play at centre back as well.
Yeah, absolutely finished the game there, didn't he? But like, a lot of the plan for England as we would have had it for last year is out the window now, just because this season's been so weird. And let's be honest,
we need people who are fit, who are resilient, who've got a bit of chonk on them.
But there are people that are just like, just having terrible seasons that you wouldn't have been, like Trent Alexander-Arnold as an example. I mean, like he just isn't, I would have expected him to walk into that squad like at this point.
Yeah, for Euros was last year, you'd imagine the team Gareth Southgate would have picked would be completely different to what he's picking this time around.
And I don't mean to single him out, but I think there's a few examples like that where it's a bit like...
Stones might not have been first choice centre-half last summer.
Good argument.
Are we in a situation... Would we? I'd hate to move on to England, but like, would we be in a situation where it is going to have to be a very pragmatic choice from the manager of England and Southgate's must be sort of thinking, look, most of these players are going to be absolutely rinsed. So let's just get the most resilient, high-energy players who haven't played that much this season. Get them in there.
Are you talking about Jesse Lingard? Is that where this is going?
Yes, that's where I'm going. That's where I'm going.
I do think it'll be a summer where we see a lot more squad rotation in terms of the internationals. I do think we're going to see a lot more players being used. Whereas before, you'd probably expect to be, if you're one of the fringe players in the England squad, maybe you'll get a few minutes here or there. I think this summer will be totally different. Luke Shaw's been sensational this season. Going back to the derby, I was quite surprised at how Kevin De Bruyne didn't really seem to light up the pitch like he normally does. Didn't quite seem himself.
Yeah, I think there was a bit of that across the board with City, though, wasn't there? And I think obviously if he's not kind of functioning as that fulcrum in the middle, then that affects everyone else a little bit. But yeah, I think they just had an off day. They had an off day and Man United played well, and that combination obviously ended up in the result.
They played well without De Bruyne as well, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. I mean, maybe that's it. They're sort of getting used to him being back in the team a little bit. I mean, we all feel weird being in the same physical space, so maybe it's having De Bruyne back is similar.
Hanging out with the De Bruyne of the ramble, Pete Donaldson, thank you.
It is amazing that Solskjaer's record against Pep, though. He's the only manager who's played Pep more than three times and won more games against him then he's lost. What, I mean, what is this madness?
I don't understand it. It just doesn't compute to me at all. But you know, you've got to, it's, for some reason, it seems really hard to give Solskjaer credit because he gets so much stick as well. And there's, you know, you went out, it's like everyone's, they're either the goat or they're a fraud. Mm. Like there's no in between.
We've been at home for such a long time. I think we just let things get on top of us a little bit. We take things very personally, and you're either the worst thing in the world or the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
And Leo Brassel was sort of saying all season, maybe he's not the worst manager in the world. Maybe he's not the best. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's fine. There can be an in between. There's a lot of in between those two things, isn't there? In the post match, though, in terms of points on the table, Fernandez said the league is not a sprint; it's a marathon. Does he think they can catch? It sounds like he thinks they can catch them.
It does, yeah.
Is it over?
Yes. But I think, you know, if you're lagging way behind in a marathon and there's not much marathon left,
then if you're running out of marathon, if you're just at the thon bit, you're just like, oh, I'm not going to get there, am I? Never mind.
Top four, though, is fun, isn't it? Yeah. can't call that one. United will definitely get top four now, though, surely.
Yeah, you would think Man United will.
It's so tough to call the rest, though, because we'll come on to Liverpool losing to Fulham later. I bet Marcus wishes he was here to talk about that today. But we will come on to that. But with Liverpool falling away, Chelsea doing as well as they are, and it's Chelsea-Everton tonight, that's a huge battle for the top four, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, Everton have got two games in hand as well over Leicester, Man United, and obviously Man City were well out in front. So Spurs as well, flying up the table again.
Yeah.
So,
and go on Spurs yesterday, beating Palace 4. What a performance from them! This attacking football, Pete. Where's it come from under Jose?
Tiredness of the other team, I think. And Crystal Palace.
Yeah, to be fair, it was Palace. And I think it was actually a really good game. Actually, I don't think the scoreline quite reflects how good a match it was. But I just think when you've got that front three starting of Kane, Bale and Son, like...
Oh, that's going to put the willies up anyway. Milivojevic, like, retired from Serbian international football on that day and then went and faced those three. Off.
Yeah, I mean, Bale looked fantastic yesterday, didn't he? I mean, again, there's so much extremity in football now that Bale's either finished or he's, you know, back to his best.
His top
he's just
getting
playing
sexier
well.
As well, I think.
It's getting longer.
Barry plays. I know.
It's we're still obsessed with the fact that it might be hiding a ball patch, aren't we?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I clammed up there because I find it really hard to praise Spurs, as you might imagine. But yeah, they were fantastic, and he is looking excellent as well. But oh god, it wasn't just the goals, but there was a cross-field ball as well at one point that was just like just from the other side of the pitch, just kind of perfectly pinged onto the feet of forget which Spurs player, but like he looks confident.
It was for one of his goals, wasn't he? He switched the play first, and then he drove into the box and scores the goal. It was an amazing. I mean, all of the goals were brilliant. I think my favourite though was Kane's from outside the box.
Oh my
because
god!
To
yeah,
finish like that without taking a touch.
Yeah,
the
it's
technique.
Like a golf
it was
hit,
a joke.
Wasn't it?
The power in it.
Enough.
Oh, so nice. Mm.
Yeah, just the vision of it as well. To not just be able to execute that, but to think about it. Because you know he was aiming for that exact spot, Harry Kane, when he did that. And like, God, yeah, wrap him in cotton wool, please, Jose. So he's fit for the Euros and you can't use him. I don't know why you'd do that. But
this is the exact time we talked about the tiredness of the Premier League and how most players are knackered and they probably don't even want this blooming international break that's coming up pretty soon. You know, this is the situation where you should play with the shackles off. Hit him with Bale, Son, Kane. Like, just go out. You will win football matches because everyone is up for making a bit of a mistake at the moment.
Yeah, even if Bale only plays like 60-odd minutes like he did yesterday, it's enough, isn't it? When you start the games that well and you can... And I think it's mentality-wise as well. The opposition, if they think, oh my God, they're going to start with them three or even the four of them, you know, Moura added to that, or if it's Dele Alli, whoever it is. I mean, that is... It's an amazing front three, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the envy of anyone really to have three players.
Apart from Graham Souness.
Apart from Graham Souness,
it was so angry.
It was weird because he reacted to what Bale was saying in the post match, wasn't he? He was saying like I'm 31 now, 32, however old it is. So I've had to adapt certain things about my game, blah blah blah. But Souness seemed to take that as him saying, well, I'm 40 now, so I'm not going to go on forever. It's like, come on, Graham, relax. I know it's not your brand, but like. just enjoy it.
Was he annoyed about things going on north of the border, do you reckon? Because it was a very Souness-y performance from Gerrard, wasn't it? Sort of coming into a club, like really putting a marker down, stabbing a flag into the ground. I think that was. So I think that's what Souness was probably just a bit upset about that, maybe.
It just seemed really, really silly because it's not Bale's fault. Bale didn't offer up the fact that he was 31. He was asked the question by the reporter, so he had to give an answer. And it just, it felt like they were really trying to get something out of that answer, weren't they?
He's an absolute narrative factory, isn't he, Gareth Bale? You know, so even if he's playing really, really well, it's easy to sort of make negative stories about him.
Would you pay a bit of cash to keep him?
If I was Spurs, 100%. If like, I think because it was easy to think there was something going on with him behind the scenes in terms of mentality, because there's so much stuff just made up and speculated about Gareth Bale. At the start of his second spell at Tottenham, that people may be thinking, oh, is he a busted flush? Does he not trust his body? All these different theories going around. But clearly,
I don't trust my body.
But like, he's had a run of games. He's got some fitness together. This is who Gareth Bale is. This is the absolute quality that he brings. And you saw that in the confidence of the passes that we were talking about, not just the stuff that led to goals. He's an absolute elite player. And I think they'd be crazy not to spend money on it. I suppose... Obviously, the sticking point might be wages, but that's something they have to get around. Because he'll be, in theory, coming on a free, right? This is last.
But I imagine they'll have to spend a bit of cash.
Oh, of course, but definitely worth it.
Do you trust your body, Pete?
Every single time. It's my gusset I don't trust frequently.
Kane and Son, let's talk about them. Everyone was saying, oh, poor little Sonny, look, you've made him cry, Bale. Him and Kane, it's not the same partnership as it used to be, but they have now combined for more Premier League goals than any other partnership in Premier League history. It's amazing, isn't it?
That is amazing.
It's amazing.
That is a hell of an achievement, especially in an era where, you don't kind of think of partnerships so
They've
much.
Still got like 11 games to go as well, so they're going to absolutely smash it out of the park, this record.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely.
The SAS. The new SAS.
Ndombele, did you spot him when he got substituted, swaddled on the sideline in a blanket?
I didn't see this.
So basically, when he gets subbed, he's on the bench just behind where Kane and Bale were. He had his hood up. He was freezing cold, bless him. Mask on. And he had this like beige blanket swaddled around him, like full length. It's basically what I look like pitch side at matches when I go to report, because I'm the coldest person ever. I've got heated socks, heated everything, a huge blanket. I look like a little old granny on the sidelines, and that is what Ndombele looked like.
Oh, it's adorable.
It is. There was that thing a little while ago where he was subbed off and he went down the tunnel, and the commentary team made the point that Mourinho has said that on cold days players can go straight to the dressing room, which, you know, seems like a trap, doesn't it? But still, it's the second time. Does he just get really cold?
Sweet, isn't it? Yeah. Sweet. By the way, worth pointing out, Bale is contracted at Madrid until 2022.
Right.
So just worth clarifying that before we move on and talk about Arsenal, Jim.
Yeah.
I think, look, a 1-1 draw against Burnley, it was the game to kick off the weekend. I think the Lacazette screaming is probably the highlight, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like everyone was taking the piss out of that for the rest
What's
of the day.
Doing?
What was that?
Yeah, it's just embarrassing, isn't it? Like, I mean,
can we get a rewind?
Rendition. Yeah, go on. That was the third one that was waiting
nice.
Out there. All
the
three.
Third one, just like, in case the second one hasn't got enough attention. Like, why? Oh, it's really. I mean, I accept that sometimes things hurt a lot more than you expect they would when they're on a football pitch because it's happening at speed and blah, 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 blah. And they've got, you know, studs or whatnot. But just there's no way, is there? There's just no way.
It doesn't hurt worse the third time, does it?
No.
It doesn't, yeah, it hurts
Although
less.
It does when, you know, when you stub your toe, initial impact,
doesn't
painful,
hurt at all, yeah.
Then it gets, and then it seriously hurts after that, doesn't
I'm
it?
I'm always banging my head. I was up at midnight last night reversing my fridge door.
Of course
and,
you were.
Because it's important. I started cleaning the fridge and I was like, this is a not. I can't get into some of the trays because the wall's in the way. Right. I'm reversing the bloody doors.
Hang on.
You're a man that does a job proper. I
don't even really understand this though. You're reversing the door. What do you mean?
So like instead of opening on the right hand side, it now opens on the left hand side, which does mean that from now on I'm just going to be going to open the right hand side, remembering what I did at 1 o'clock in the morning yesterday, and then opening the right side. But I banged my head off. I stood up too quick. Banged the corner, and my head is just marked. There's just calloused kind of lumps and bumps and oozing sores from where I've banged my head. But when you first do it, you're like, oh, the pain is going to arise. And then you turn into the worst man in the world.
I mean, as you might, you would not be surprised to hear, I bump into things all the time and stub my toe all the time. But the worst bit is it's not the pain, but it's the anger and the immediate desire for
boy.
No, it's I want revenge on the radiator or whatever.
Same.
I've
okay.
And then it's like you have that horrible moment where it's like, well, I can kick this radiator, but it's unthinking. The radiator is not conscious; it will never know. And that, for me, the futility of that makes me even more angry.
Yeah, I definitely shout at objects if I walk into them.
Do you know jellyfish don't think? So if you get stung by a jellyfish, you can't even get revenge on it.
No, they don't think. Why do they just?
They're not sentient. Yeah, they don't think at all. They
have
just
you ever been stung
around.
By a jellyfish?
I've not. No.
You have to piss on yourself, don't you, to
you
get
do.
Rid of
Is
the sting?
Is that true
yeah,
though?
Because I've done it and it worked.
Really?
I didn't actually. It's very hard as a woman to wee on yourself.
Yeah.
So I had to wee into something and then pour it on.
Cool. God,
does it have to be your own?
I don't think I'd put anyone else's on me, so...
Did you just throw it up in the air? And just,
shower. but coming back to Arsenal then, before we go down a weird road here. I mean, that was an amazing performance from Lacazette, wasn't it? But the point, though, Jim, it's just not good enough from Arsenal.
No, it's not good enough. Arsenal are in a weird situation at the moment because they're a mid-table team. As is borne out by the actual table and a lot of performances and results like this, but they have a top four scalp and you get that sometimes, don't you? So every time they draw a game or lose a game that you would think the Invincibles would have won, then it becomes a bit of a crisis. And such an unfortunate moment from Granit Xhaka, and a silly one as well, because he has looked up. It's not like he's just not looked up. He's looked up, he's taken a risk and it's gone awry. Yeah. Yeah. But
it was funny though.
One positive from it was he on his Instagram account. He posted, posted a picture of himself looking glum and said, "Hold my hands up, take responsibility." Blah blah blah. Mm. But universally, all of the comments were really positive.
Okay.
And really like, so you've been brilliant this season. Keep
because he's a white
happen.
Man.
But probably part of that. But that's not always been the case.
Mm.
And actually, it's really really good to see that tide has turned. So I mean, obviously. To find positives, I've had to look to Granit Xhaka's Instagram. Rather than the actual game itself.
Granit, you've pissed on yourself, but at least the sting has subsided.
Yeah, but also the penalty though.
Yeah,
What? I've not got my biased hat on here, right? That's a stonewall penalty, right?
Yeah.
What? That is infuriating.
I don't think you'll hear any dissent from that particular argument in this room.
Although Jim. Sean Dyche was saying that they should have had one.
Right.
Well, I don't think they should. He's like, well, we don't get penalties. So, well, if you say things that aren't penalties should be penalties, then by your own standards, then you won't get penalties, will you?
By the way, going back to Instagram, just because you reminded me, did you see that Spurs put that photo on of Gareth Bale and Harry Kane merged into one and called it Harris Kale? Well,
that's horrible.
Oh, it's horrendous.
Why is his head? How has Harry Kane's head got bigger?
Yeah, God, Son's going to feel left out now.
Bless him. Cheers, Spurs. Son's crying. Right, coming up after the break, we'll chat Fulham. Marcus Speller's Fulham beating Liverpool. The fight to stay in the league is really on. We'll also talk Stevie G's Mighty Rangers clinching the Scottish Premiership title. And Warnock goes to war. Of course he does.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Which decision in particular annoys you?
Where do you want to start?
Oh, sorry, I forgot to almost press that before the break. But there we go. That is Warnock going a bit mad, and we'll come on to him in just a moment. But first, let's just do our Betway 4 to Score update to see how we got on this weekend. Remember, the entry to Betway's 4 to Score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly 50 grand jackpot. And make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further terms and conditions do apply. All right, so game one we picked was an absolute thriller. West Brom, Newcastle. Marcus actually correctly picked that there would be no goal scorer.
I think Brucey was listening, putting no strikers on the pitch.
Yeah,
yeah. There we go. Liverpool, Fulham was the second game. Andy picked Josh Maggio, who has been decent lately, but it was Mario Lemina who nicked the ball off Salah and scored. That was very nicely done. So unlucky, Andy, for picking wrong there. In the derby, Jim, you picked Mahrez.
I did.
Thought it was going to be his. They had a couple of good chances, didn't he?
Yeah.
Wasn't him though. It was, of course, that early Bruno Fernandes penalty. In Spurs Palace, Luke picked Harry Kane, but the result was, as we've been talking about, Gareth Bale. We'll be back with another round of Betway's 4 to Score on the preview show this Friday. Right, it's now time for this. Just even a show at footballramble.com. Right now.
from Israel at Putnam. A great name. I'm totally serious when I say... I mean, coming off the back of the Warnock anger, but I'm totally serious when I say they would absolutely be better off doing away with refs altogether and just letting VAR and players call their own game. Hotly contested decisions could be decided with the coin flip. It might take a season to adjust, but I guarantee everyone will be happier.
What time in the morning was that sent?
I don't actually know. But yeah, Israel angry.
Yeah, furious. Angry
Israel. Imagine a game without the refs at all. None.
Yeah.
Just...
But how do you start it?
And
blows the whistle.
Yeah. Yeah. Letting the players call the game. Yeah. I mean, that would work, wouldn't it?
Oh, that'd be amazing. I'd love to see it experimented with, just because it'd be absolute carnage. But yeah, I don't think it'd quite work.
No. I mean, to be fair, Neil Warnock probably would agree. We just heard out of the break there a little bit of his moaning in his post-match interview after Middlesbrough lost to Swansea on Saturday in the 97th minute. And to make things even, probably feel even worse for Neil Warnock, Middlesbrough had just equalised in injury time as well. So they thought they were going away with a point, and then it was a penalty awarded. Some are arguing it wasn't a penalty. You can kind of see where he's coming from with this. And Swansea got a penalty in the week as well. They were quite fortunate with that one. That one was a 96th minute penalty last week. So two games in a row Swansea have done this now. And Neil Warnock, in his Neil Warnock way, just, he started the interviewer teed him up and he just went, Jim.
Oh, it was beautiful, wasn't it? It's like, if you're a fan of Neil Warnock having a bit of a meltdown, which if you're listening to this podcast, you definitely are, then it's a classic of the form. Like, do hunt it out. There's a point where he goes, how am I going to come on here and talk without getting fined? And it's like he's trying to lose as much money as possible. So the point where...
Brewster's even, millions.
Absolutely, yeah. Warnock's millions. Even Warnock's thousands, let's be honest. He even sort of has a little bit of a cheeky kind of wink and a grin at the interview at one point, doesn't he? Like he's like he's doing it on purpose. Yeah. He's not even hiding it.
I'm a naughty, dirty boy, aren't I?
And the vocal range of Warnock as well.
Oh, it's so
there's
good.
A bit where he's talking about the referee, you know, perhaps guessing about one of the decisions, and he goes, "And if you're not sure, you don't give it." it's so good.
I love the fact that he was he knows he's going to get an apology, and he addresses that. He says, "I'm sure I'll get an apology now from Alan Wiley, who's the referee director at PGMOL, by the way." He said, "I've had 3 or 4 in the last 6 weeks. I've had that many apologies. I don't know what to do with them."
I hope he rejects this one.
You can go fuck yourself.
I think a lot of Championship supporters will be very much on board with the fact that the level of refereeing in the Championship is poor. And it only gets a lot worse when you go on.
They need VAR, mate.
Good God.
I love as well, he joked that Steve Cooper's side, Swansea, were getting more penalties than other teams. I just mentioned it was 2 in a row because his dad, Steve Cooper's dad, Keith, used to be a top flight referee.
Yeah. Nice. Love it.
Stick a couple of grand on the fine.
Now it's personal.
Good. So good. Right. Keep your emails coming into us. show@footballramble.com. We love hearing from you. If you're on Twitter, we are @footballramble. All right. Before we go back to the Premier League, let's just salute Stevie G, shall we? Because yeah. Rangers have done it. I mean, it's been coming for a long time, but to actually finally clinch the Scottish Premiership title and make it 55. I mean, what an amazing fairy tale. It's taken him a couple of years to get the team into this position and to manage to beat Celtic to the title. But it has been so impressive, their season. Unbeaten in the league. They're also unbeaten in the Europa League, coming into this next knockout stage against Slavia Prague this week. Their levels of consistency this season are unheard of. So although we can say, of course, Celtic have completely balls this season up and it's been an absolute shambles for them, the fact that they have been this consistent, you cannot do anything but just applaud Steven Gerrard and the team and the players for what they've done.
Yeah, I mean, the fact they've been so consistent is what's perhaps made it difficult for Celtic in some ways as well, isn't it? If you see your rivals just not slipping up. And the pressure as well of this, because to stop 10 in a row is massive, especially as this has happened to Rangers themselves in the past. Yeah. For Celtic to have managed to do that with, you know, quadruple trebles and all the stuff they've done would have been a nightmare for Rangers fans. But this is just fantastic for them. 55.
Sturgeon must condemn.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that's not unreasonable, is it?
No,
given
no.
the sort of celebrations in the street and stuff.
Yeah, but, it was a bit of a mess, wasn't
did
it?
You,
yeah.
Did you see Stevie G's belly slide on the dressing room floor?
No, I didn't.
Did
I heard
you not?
About this.
Yeah, so they were celebrating in the dressing room after their win on Saturday because they knew that was pretty much a done right. deal. And Stevie G was sliding across the floor. So people are saying we've had the slip and the slide.
Nice. Slip and slide. Oh, I like
nice.
It.
A bit naughty. An amazing achievement for Stevie G, though. Obviously, he never won the Premier League with Liverpool. So this is his first.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Maybe he'll do it next season when he's managing them.
I think it's hard to compare, isn't it, for someone like Steven Gerrard? What means more, winning something like when he won the Champions League with Liverpool as a player, as the captain, or winning the title with Rangers? We can't answer that question. But
yeah, he was well-backed and well-supported, which you don't always get north of the border, but it's an incredible achievement, and he should be very happy with it.
Yes,
that.
Congratulations, Rangers fans. Right, let's go on to Stevie G's former side, Liverpool, then. It's just been the complete opposite, quite frankly. The six now consecutive defeats at Anfield after going like four seasons unbeaten there. It's quite it's quite remarkable, really. And they just cannot seem to win. But my God, do we need to give credit to Fulham? They are, I think I said this probably at the start of January. It might have even been a little bit before that in December, that they are the team that have momentum out of all the teams that are in this relegation fight. And I take that relegation fight right to Burnley. I think Burnley, Brighton, Newcastle are all in it, as well as the bottom three. And even Southampton looked as though they were kind of getting dragged into it. I think they'll be okay after winning on Saturday. But they have the momentum and they've been playing so well. And this performance against Liverpool, take nothing away from them, because defensively they were outstanding, weren't they?
Yeah, they're miserly at the back. Well, they conceded six goals or something in the past, I think six matches or something like that anyway. But like, yeah, like obviously we said throughout the season, Parker's had to contend with a lot of new faces, very truncated season. I think he had like a month to prepare for the Premier League and bring faces in and stuff. And yeah, it was... I kind of feared for them in the 6 minutes of injury time at the end of the match, because I was just like, oh God. And it was all from Areola's goal kicks. It just takes an age to kick a bloody football. It doesn't matter, not in. But I really fear for them. But their momentum just does not seem like it's slowing down at all. And players like Adam Ola-Luckman, who I do really, really like him. Some of his decision making is poor, I think. I think he needs to, ironically, look man up a bit more. But he just, if he's coming into his own a little bit, and he's becoming a little less precious about keeping the ball, and Fulham are just looking better and better. And I don't think there's many people who would bet against them climbing out of this one.
No, it's they look incredible. Like the ones, don't they, as you say, Jules? They're winning games narrowly, which, you know, will make them nervous, I would think. But, you know, it's just about getting points on the board at this point, isn't it? And that momentum, I think, more than any other season, that's going to be important, because, you know, we can see the entire Premier League is exhausted. Do you know what I mean? I feel like the quality of football this season is a bit lower than it normally is because we're seeing so many tired teams. Mm. So just using that thrust and that momentum to just keep getting these narrow victories.
Thrust is such a good word, isn't it?
It is, especially when you say it like that. Thrust. Like it's taking off.
Yeah, they have that thrust, don't they? I think that, as you say, Jim, it's going to be scoring goals, if anything, that's going to let them down. If they can just kind of get a little bit more consistent in terms of banging in the goals, I think that you would pick them as the team that are going to get out of this now. And possibly Newcastle, after their draw with West Brom at the weekend, could be the ones to drop in, or Brighton. I mean, I'm worried, I'm not going to lie. I didn't get carried away, though. I remember saying on the ramble after we beat Liverpool and Spurs, I'm not getting excited, because I just know how quickly things can turn around. But the next couple of games for Brighton are massive. The next one against Southampton particularly. And, you know, it's going to be a real fight, I think, for the next few matches. And then there will be one team that just sort of pulls away. And I think it'll end up being two of them that go right down to the wire. But Scott Parker just seems to have this ability to instill that mentality of winning into the team. You can feel it. You can hear it in his voice, in his interviews, and in that coat that he was wearing as well.
Yeah.
Oh God, he had so many layers. It was like he was Muscle Man under there.
It looks like he's trying to hide a stab vest or a Kevlar vest. I'm not worried about being assassinated. No, not at all. But
probably quite warm, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm
always cozy.
He looks great in anything. He'd look fantastic in a barrel. But don't they have like a Charles? Is it Tyrant? Tyrant, the shirt maker. I think they've got a sponsorship with them.
Do they?
And he turns out without nonsense. With weird lines all over it, like he's folded it in a box. Rubbish.
It could be his lucky coat now. I mean, I thought Graham Potter had a lucky coat. It was lucky for like four games, and then it's just gone downhill ever
since.
Just
a coat again now.
Now I see he changed to a navy scarf at the weekend, and I thought, oh, new navy scarf, Graham, didn't work.
No. You've got to get your lucky items right. It's hard.
You really do, don't you?
Is that
you?
Your opener in the interview? Oh, new navy scarf.
I'm not even joking. I actually said to him off air before, oh, Graham, new coat, is it? And he was like, oh, you know, got to try all my different clothes on. Let's talk Liverpool then. I mean, what's going on? Will they ever score at Anfield ever again?
Imagine if they didn't. They just look just a bit shell-shocked by what's happening to them. Yeah. It's one of those things we see it in football so often. And we often kind of talk about this in a crazy game where there's a sort of an inevitability to it, and it feels like the actors involved can't actually influence it in some way. You feel like they go behind and it's like, oh God, this again. And Klopp even alluded to it, didn't he? He said one goal against us seems to be enough at the moment. It's like even James Milner seems to be running on empty. He was pretty, you know, kind of just average at the weekend, as they all were. And you know, it gets mentioned every time, and I think it should be mentioned every time. They have been decimated by injuries. Like, I know a lot of clubs are contending with that this season, but no one to the extent that they are. And it has been really, really bad. But it's like, it's a bit of a Rubik's Cube, isn't it? It's like a Rubik's Cube where certain squares are missing, so you can't put anything into a coherent
Rubik's
sense.
Cube. No,
peel off the stickers and put them in the right place.
Yeah.
No.
it's one of those things, isn't it? Because with Liverpool, their identity has always been that intensity and the way they play like that, and they just don't seem to have it at the moment. And even looking at the team selection going into the game against Fulham, the fact that Jurgen Klopp made seven changes could be suggesting that maybe the Champions League is now more important. They've got a big game against Leipzig, and although
they've got nothing to play for in the league,
and although they're 2-0 ahead in that game, you all know how Champions League knockout games can work. You know, Leipzig could come and quite easily score two goals against Liverpool. So could he be prioritising that, or is it the fact that he felt that the players that he put on the bench needed a rest? Because Sadio Mane didn't start the game, which maybe looked a bit curious, although maybe he was just listening to Michael Owen's suggestions. I mean, this was a bizarre theory from Michael Owen. I don't know if you heard it. He said that Mane's purposely not trying to go to ground and win penalties because he doesn't want Mo Salah to score them and win the golden boot. He even admitted to himself that it might be a little bit of a devious thought. But what on earth was that about?
It might be a little bit of a devious thought. What an interesting insight into his mind. Like, do you think he did that when he was a player then?
He was getting up to that kind of caper. The man is a sociopath.
I'd love to meet him. Michael, why are you like this?
Why are you like this, for crying out loud?
What a bizarre suggestion.
Yeah.
There's surely nothing in that at all.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, Salah's getting his pocket picked, so there's all kinds of subterfuge.
Oh, dearie me. Well, look, I'm sure we will see Liverpool score at Anfield again. Let's see if it comes this season. Let's just a little bit touch on your Newcastle side then, Pete. How are you feeling? It was a bit of a strange week last week. I feel like so much was made of the Matt Ritchie argument with Steve Bruce. It was just blown out of proportion. That kind of stuff happens all the time.
It does, but Newcastle have looked bereft. And to be honest, I've said it again. I will say this again at this point in the show. I've said this all season. Matt Ritchie has been, whenever you see him on the pitch, he looks like he's working harder than every other player on the pitch. And you've got Bruce apologists in the press, like certain John Shaw Shelf he's given at the big licks that Bruce is the best manager in the world and stuff. Yeah, he is the best manager in the world if you want to amble around the field and not really give a shit. Yeah. There was a brilliant moment where I can't remember who was whipping. They weren't whipping. This was West Brom, for crying out loud. They were looping balls into the box. And Shelvey, instead of like jumping to block, he just sort of slowly turned like the palest rotisserie chicken you've ever seen in your life. Just kind of like...
No one likes an anemic chicken. No.
But it was really poor, and Bruce is in a situation where he's not very pragmatic, and he refuses to change the system that he imagines is this really new successful system that's going to get the best out of players like ASM and others and Wilson and players like that. None of them are playing, mate.
Yeah.
Put Carroll, let's have have Gale on the field as well. Let's just try and score some bloody goals.
Big man, little man.
Big man, little man. Give us the big man, little man. But it's just, you know, the only astonishingly shameful fact is that we will probably be seeing this match. We'll probably see this same 0-0 played out in the Championship next year.
It was such a predictable goalless draw, wasn't it? I did take the dog for a walk in the first half, checked the score at halftime and saw it was 0-0 and thought, I didn't think it was going to be anything other than that. Although Shelby wasn't surprised either. He said the way they play isn't great. I love a player just saying that about another dad. Yeah, they're not great.
Shelby's hilarious.
And you couldn't fucking beat him, could you?
Could Shelby be the mole? Because he doesn't care, does he? He just doesn't care. There's a lot of snitching going on at the moment, isn't there, in football?
Just having to go on moles.
Every other team is like, there's some sort of, you know, training ground leak.
Bruce
accused them all of treason
to the Geordie Nation.
Yeah, very weird.
It's amazing.
Hey, they're waiting in Worms every day. What have you done with your life?
There's all sorts of weird suggestions going on at the moment. Like Sam Allardyce thinks the Premier League are trying to relegate West Brom after they denied to let them play the game on. They wanted to play the game on Monday and it was ignored. And he thinks that the Premier League are trying to relegate them.
Oh, I think any broadcast and Match of the Day would be like, yeah, put it on Monday.
Yeah.
We don't want to watch that. Yeah. I'm not cutting that in.
I think like it is genuinely part of the protocol, isn't it, that teams can request that their games get moved, so it's not particularly outrageous him asking that and being annoyed that they have said no, but saying that they're trying to relegate them, I am loving the indignity of all this. I don't know about you. he's just throwing his toys out the pram at every opportunity, just constantly talking about what he would have done at Everton. It is something to behold from Big Sam.
This is the thing though, is it's going to be some fight. It's quite entertaining, isn't it, that it's not over, because I feel like a couple of months ago, everyone was like, yeah, bottom three is bottom three. Nothing's going to change. But now we really do have a bit of a fight, Pete, and we've got Brighton against Newcastle, 20th of March. Look at that. Relegation jungle. Lovely jubbly. We beat you earlier this season.
Yeah, you did. And there's every chance that you're going to do it again. There was a free kick at the weekend, I think Sheffield Wednesday, and they, like, it's not going well for Sheffield Wednesday,
no,
I think it's fair to say.
And
the free kick taker just lashed it into his own player's balls. And I thought, that is what this tedious relegation, like, sort of battle it feels like. Just teams sinking like stones. They don't know where the next points are going to come from. And they've got quite stinking run-ins. Whereas, you know, I know Fulham have got Man City next, I think. I want to say. Once they get past that, they could be 5 points clear of the relegation zone by the end of the season.
I'm intrigued as how that game's going to go, because obviously Fulham are so pumped up and confident now. City have just had a little bit of a setback. Mm. And when you've been on a long run of even an unbeaten run or a winning run or whatever it is, quite often it takes a few games to get back into the swing of things after it comes to an end. So Fulham might fancy this one. Yep. I mean, obviously they'll fancy it, but they might actually have a chance against them. You hope they'll be up for playing.
Yeah. Oh, boys, it's been so nice to see you again and be back in this room and not have to be fiddling around with cushions, shoving them up against my wall to make sure it doesn't echo at home. It's so much easier, isn't it?
Hiding dogs.
I know, hiding dogs in the other room, exactly.
Tidy up my little bedroom.
That was tidying it.
I know, right? It's just got too much stuff, Jules.
Oh, so nice to see you both. And thank you so much, everyone, for sticking with us through what has been tricky recording from home. But we have still really enjoyed it. And it's so good to be back in the studio. So thanks for listening, as always. And if you enjoyed today's show, please do drop us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods. It'll be really nice for you to do that, because that's how new listeners can find us. Right, on tomorrow's show, both of you are back. Look at that. Two days in a row. Very nice. Just any excuse to get out of the house, eh?
Yeah.
Jules, I left my laptop on my scooter this morning. And I had to go back. I got on the train, realised I'd left my laptop just in the street.
No way.
I went back. Still there, though.
Still there. That's amazing.
Wow.
Middle fast bird.
There you go. And Kate is going to be here with you boys tomorrow. So enjoy that. Thanks for listening, guys. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free.
or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.